Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of SideQuest. My name is Joey and I am your GM as always, and I am joined by three of the greatest PCs of this side of the Mississippi. First up, we have Dan, how are you?
I think you've used that one before.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
it's been 3 weeks off, so you know, can't really tell.
It's been a while.
It's been a while since I've gone.
Well, okay, everybody's got bringing the energy tonight. Dan, do you remember the voices that you have to do tonight?
This is not something I recall.
That's not one of them. That's not one of them.
Ah, yes, I am Phineas Cogsbuckle.
Has anybody else noticed that all of Dan's voices start out with, ah, yes?
It's a switch, how he turns it on.
That's how I have to, like, get into it.
Speaking of things that turn me on, next up we have Richie. Richie, ooh, how are you, buddy?
I'm fine. How are you, boss?
Doing good, man.
Did not see that one coming.
Nah, no one ever does. Did you have a good Christmas, buddy?
Yeah. Got to basically just hang out, chill, and, you know, eat a lot of food that I probably didn't need. How was your Christmas?
That was pretty good. Can't complain. Got some really cool stuff. You know, it's cool to have Christmas with the kids, which is awesome. So they get all hyped for it and stuff. They don't have the burdens of life weighing them down yet.
That's right. Santa Claus still exists.
Yep, something like that. So it's nice to have their excitement, and you can kind of participate from a distance, if you know what I mean.
Oh yeah.
Well, you know, the guy Cruz, I'm already laughing, man. Speaking of people who definitely make noises when they stand up, next up we have Cruz Turner.
I feel like that was the poorest transition ever. You could have been like, oh yeah, all the kids make happy, gleeful noises.
How are you doing, man?
You know, it's Christmas.
Well, not anymore.
Well, sorry, it's the holiday season.
It's the holiday season.
How about you, interviewer man?
You know, I'm doing good, bud. This is the third time I've been asked, so I appreciate y'all letting me reiterate.
Well, you know, it's like you could tell more revealing things about your life.
So last time on the episode, Dr. Cogsbuckle got knocked out again, but then you're back up, and apparently you had some angel kits. That's really good. Why don't you give me just the overarching, you know, it's been a while since we've done this. Why don't you give me an overarching thought over the past few episodes since you got your eye ripped out? How are you feeling interpersonally?
Well, I feel attacked.
Just like blanket statement, you feel attacked.
Yes, I feel attacked. Personally, physically, and emotionally.
Emotionally too?
It's been a rough 72 hours.
It really hasn't been that long, yeah. That's true. It all kind of happened right at the end there. I feel like your relationship with Rat Boy is only getting progressively worse.
Well, actions have consequences there.
Is that what you're going to tell him as he, you know, refuses to speak with you anymore?
Well, no, I don't want to dig a deeper hole, but, you know, this is what it is. There's nothing I can really do about it at this point. I'm trying to make amends, or at least I'd like to at some point.
Maybe you'll be able to get Terrence back and, you know, and save the school. And although this doesn't really seem like that kind of a story, so I don't really know how that's going
to
go.
I would hate for my dearest Rat Boy to hate me for the rest of, well, however long I have left.
Maybe not that long. Din, I'll ask you a question, and I can't ask Dr. Cogsbuckle this, but I feel like this is beneficial for all of the listeners, since it has been a minute. Let me channel Rat Boy here for a second. How do they know about the sewers?
That's my favorite.
Well, see, we have this really bad habit of, like, not paying attention of our surroundings, and I'm not going to say I do, because I'm pretty sure I do, but the loving group known as Dr. Cogsbuckle Incorporated, we have, we have attention spans probably about the size of a squirrel, so we're really in the now thinkers, not the in 2 second thinkers, even though we just got done talking about how the doc has an eye that's recording everything, and then we just go ahead and tell all of our plans right in front of them like we just forgot or something like that. But, you know, I mean, that's all I can really give you. I have no real reason why we are why we are the way that we are, you know?
Really downplays all the successes that you've had at the other, you know, like the warehouse and the monolith and all that stuff.
Could be us. We are not the same guys. That's a different group of guys.
So, Boulder, you had a few you ripped the doc's eyes out. I feel like that was a split second decision there.
Yes, I mean, you know, it had to be done.
No, I appreciate that. Like Den was saying, it was completely huge plot hole that you guys kept blowing past. I feel like we'll be seeing the gentleman that you solicited to help you in the act again at some point. He seemed to be kind of a match for you.
I mean, it's all up to fates, I suppose. I mean, if you really think about it, I wasn't in control of myself. I felt like somebody else's took over, but I didn't quite feel as myself. And two, I mean, we have what you calls like foots and mouths disorders, and we like to shove our foots in our mouths.
Well, guys, I think we've done our intro such that it is. Why don't we entertain the people for the first time in a little while?
No.
We will try.
I want it.
A low hum emanates from several bright, semi-directional studio lights illuminating two high-backed leather chairs set opposite a low, round, decorative table. Somewhere behind the lights, a wad crackles to life. The second AD, whose wrist the wad is attached, hurries quickly towards the grouping of monitors nestled beside one of the static cameras. The young woman has a hushed and hurried conversation before abruptly ending the call and then bending down to whisper in the ear of an older man seated in a black canvas director's chair. Its back emblazoned with the logo of The Wire. The older man listens quietly before dismissing the second AD with a wave. He passes a thumbs up to the first AD, who is waiting near the static camera to his left. The affirmative runs through the crew as every position readies for action. The second AC moves into position, his clackerboard held out to his side with both hands. He notes the broadcast title and time and quickly moves from in front of the two still empty leather chairs. A flurry of stringed instruments play suddenly. Their staccato hits emphasized by light timpani. As the music crescendos and fades, the faint sound of her hard-heeled shoes striking carpet comes into focus as a tall, thin, smartly dressed man strolls between the humming lights before coming to a stop facing the leftmost leather chair. He pauses for a moment, feeling the fine leather before turning and addressing the camera directly, his left hand still resting atop the chair back.
Good day, New Haven. As you all know, my name is Ronald McCarlsbad Jr., and I will be your host for this evening's special edition of 90 Minutes. I, like all of you, was shocked and horrified to witness the reprehensible domestic terrorist attack on the Haywood Monolith but a few days ago. This attack was orchestrated, coordinated, and carried out by one Phineas J. Cogsbuckle of the Warrens and his small group of hardened criminals for unspecified complaints Mr. Cogsbuckle appeared to harbor against ZSG Unlimited. As a result, our fine city has suffered the incalculable loss of some of our greatest citizens in the ZSG executive team. The greatest of these was none other than Chester Figaro, CEO and founder of ZSG Unlimited. Mr. Figaro was nearly single-handedly responsible for many amazing improvements that have taken place throughout the years in New Haven, and we all owe him a lifelong debt of gratitude. And as much as Mr. Figaro meant to the people of New Haven, no one else is feeling this loss in the same way as our first guest this evening. Please help me welcome the newly minted CEO of ZSG Unlimited, Mr. William Figaro. William, how are you this evening?
Hey, Ronald, how are you doing? I appreciate you having me on this evening.
We appreciate you being here. How is the family holding up since the bombing?
Well, you know, it's been a hard time. The loss of my father is, it's more than I could put into words, especially at this time of year, and, you know, my children are having a hard time with it. It's the time of the year that we all, you know, leave the city and go up north to do some family skiing and just try to have some time together, and he's not going to be here for that this year, and I'm sorry.
it's okay. Deborah, get him some tissues, please.
I appreciate that. Thanks, Deborah. I appreciate that. I
haven't seen the children in a while. How are Daryl and Stephanie?
You know, Daryl, she's doing really good. And, you know, Stephanie's been at boarding school for probably 10 or 15, maybe 20 years at this point, so I'm not really sure. But I've let her say that she's doing pretty well, so.
Well, that sounds about right. Last time I saw her, she was quite the troublemaker.
Yeah, you know, just always messing with people's tech. You know, you remember that that message that got sent out to everybody's WAD like 10 years ago with that, you know, the picture that I'm talking about?
Yes, the mess in the fifth floor bathroom. I do remember that quite fondly.
That was Stephanie, and you know, that was the more tame of her hijinks. Some of the other ones included, like, you know, embezzlement of several million corpos. So yeah.
Well, I'd say it's a bad thing, but it's also quite impressive. Anyway, William, do you have any further information on Mr. Cogsbuckle's whereabouts?
No, I. So, other than what the NHPF has provided to The Wire, and again, thank you very much for allowing all the awareness be brought up about everything that's happened here, Mr. Cogsbuckle appears to have receded into his lair in the Warrens and hasn't been seen for quite some time. I can only hope that one of his closest allies has betrayed him in some way, and hopefully he's dead, but... know this, Phineas, we're gonna find you if you're still alive. And when we do, you won't be going to prison. You'll be coming to ZSEC.
Well, you heard it here, folks. Dr. Phineas J. Cogsbuckle better watch his back.
Yes, and on top of that, his accomplice, Den Wiesel, along with Fifi Werner and Sid Fortnite. As you know, Ronald, we were able to apprehend Fifi Werner and Sid Fortnite, and they have been most helpful of our retracing the steps of Dr. Cogsbuckle and Den Wiesel as he moved through the monolith. They're not really providing much information on what happened before that and all the meetups and everything they had prior to, but I'm confident that with enough time and persuasion, we will get that out of them.
Fantastic. Well, we, the people of New Haven and I, thank you for your hard work, and we hope that you are able to bring him to justice.
Oh, I have no doubt that we will be seeing Mr. Cogsbuckle very, very soon.
I appreciate the confidence and the optimism. Now, going away from Dr. Cogsbuckle for a second, as previously mentioned, you like to vacation with your father, but was there any other memories that strike you as fond with your father?
Well, Ronald, you know that my father was a very busy man, and he spent a lot of time, you know, working, and my older brother, him and my older brother spent a lot of time before my older brother died, and really, you know, just watching him work and the work ethic that I got from him is really my favorite memory of my father.
Fantastic. Yes, I can see just by looking at you that you're a hardworking man. Well, this kind of plays into my next question, but it also is also a second part, so I'll just go over that one with you. Now, Mr. Figaro was known for mentoring young adults and building up the next generation of New Haven. You mentioned your work ethic, but were there any other ways your father made you into the man that you are today?
Well, you know, providing the services that we provide the city of New Haven takes a certain amount of business acumen, and other than work ethic, that's the other thing that I really learned from my father, is to really double down on all your decisions and understand that with time, everything will work out in the way that you want in the end. You know, patience is a real virtue, and no matter how many people try to put roadblocks in your way, you can rest assured that with enough drive and determination and planning, things will always spin your way. I mean, look at me. I'm the CEO of ZSG now. And we've got some really great new things about to happen for the city of New Haven. It's one of the reasons I wanted to come on your show, Ronald. I'm sure we'll get to that in a while. But, you know, you mentioned my father was known for mentoring people, and that's true. I saw him do that with many people over the years. And, you know, I had my nanny was really my mentor, was really the one that kind of... anyway, he did that for a lot of young people over the years. And I saw him in particular... there was a young woman that he mentored she was a teenager, about my same age when she was taken into the program, and she made it all the way up into the executive layers of the company before she just outright betrayed my father and disappeared. And look, I'm not trying to get personal here, but, you know, just always know, and this is really something I want to say to your audience, Ronald, always know that it's the people closest to you that'll betray you. I'm not going to let that happen anymore on my watch. I just want everybody to know that. If my father had been a little bit less trusting with the people closest to him, maybe he would still be here today.
Wow.
Yes, I completely agree. Well, I won't badger you too much anymore, but I do just want to express my deepest condolences for you and your family and your father. I'm sorry for your loss, as well as everyone here. Now, as you previously mentioned before, you had something you wanted to say to everyone. Would you like to make that announcement now?
Yes. people of New Haven, I very much appreciate you tuning in this evening and all of the well wishes that we've received from the governance of New Haven and from the people all throughout the city that have paid their respects to my father. You know, one of the biggest problems we have in this city is that we don't take care properly of the poorest among us. If we, as the people of New Haven, did a better job of taking care of the least of our people, then people like Phineas J. Cogsbuckle would not be allowed to prey on them and fester and create a movement that eventually led to the death of my father. So, as a result, I would like to announce that ZSG will be taking a special dedicated interest in the Warrens. From here on out, we will be providing free mental health screenings, food, water, and medication to the people of the Warrens. And that's just the beginning. Soon, with the help of our brand new automaton forces, we will introduce a new level of security and safety to the lawlessness that is the Warrens. So rest assured, people of New Haven, we are going to lift up the least of these so that we can all see a better New Haven.
Well, you heard it here, folks. William, I appreciate you coming on. Please tell your family, I'm sorry for your loss. Everyone, this has been your special edition of What New Haven Considers 90 Minutes. Thank you.
Wad Static sends echoing hisses down the length of the sewer tunnel as wrist-mounted flashlight beams crisscross along the heavily molded stone walls. Four of the five men turn to glare at the fifth near the rear of the group, unconcealed malice heavy behind their face coverings. The man lifts his night-bright goggles to examine his wad. He gives a sheepish wave of apology to the four men, two of which return a crude gesture. The statics cut short with a squeal, and the men continue forward down the tunnel, lights crisscrossing the darkness. They take a few more timid steps down into the darkness. One of the men turns back and kind of gestures everybody quiet, and he says in a low voice,
I really feel like we got to be getting close to the middle, right?
And another man kind of puts up a hand and pulls down his face covering, revealing his mouth, and he says,
What do you mean towards the middle? There's nothing to be seen down here. It's just water and poop and pee. I don't know what we're even doing down here. I don't know what Rick's thinking, sending us down here for nothing.
And it's about that time that a massive upwards explosion of water shoots up into the air, revealing the 15-foot-tall hulking form of Warwick. And immediately, two of the lights are extinguished towards the front of the group. Next up, we will have Boulder. Boulder, you have three men still standing. Two have been split in half by Warwick just instantaneously.
Jeez.
And what do you do?
So, mask is obviously on.
Yeah.
I'm going to step out of the shadows, I suppose, and you're going to hear clack clack of the new shiny grenade launcher. And I'm going to...
You really get used to the twists and turns once you're down here.
And I'm going to release a grenade into the group of the three remainders.
Roll to do single combat.
Singles combats, I mean, that's still hards.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still tens.
So on a 10 plus, you can do both of the following. You can inflict terrible harm, which is plus one harm, or you can suffer little harm, which is minus one harm.
You said I could do both or one?
Yes.
Yeah, both. Let's just do that.
So as you go and release a grenade, are you trying to aim it at all three of them, trying to hit all three and just kind of maim them?
Yeah, so the idea is shock and awe. You know, maybe pop out of the shadows, blow them up, and then they're like, oh my god, they're in the walls. You know?
As Warwick rips these two guys in half, and he kind of has his legs straddling the river of water in the middle of the stone pathways on either side, and then you've got the kind of half dome of the stone roof above you. He rips these guys in half and then kind of ducks down and slithers back into the water nearly instantaneously. And as he disappears, you launch a grenade over where he just was, and it lands in the middle of the three remaining men and explodes in a bright flash. And you see several limbs go in separate directions, and you see all three of them collapse, but not before, as the grenade is about to explode, they return fire in your direction, trying to shoot at Warwick, who is now gone, and they are going to draw a bead. They're not going to get a lot of harm off on you. Let's say they roll two harm on you.
Okay, so I don't take any due to my armor.
And where would everybody else be posting up? Dr. Hogsbuckle, Den, are y'all going to be close to Boulder? Y'all going to be hanging out on the side? Where are y'all going
to
be at?
I guess if we're trying to do this, like, I don't know, strategically, if you will, I guess we'd be doing like a, yeah, so like a, almost like a pincer maneuver. So if the men we're attacking are in the center, think of it being like they're in the center of a triangle between the three of us.
Their fire in that direction would only hit Boulder, so Boulder will hit you for the two. But your grenade explodes, sending limbs in various directions as all three men kind of like fall to the ground, and two of them scramble backwards. The one that was close to the explosion kind of stays put, and one of them stands back up. We will roll to Den next. Den, it is your turn. What do you do?
Just so as you know, that's six harms.
I guess I'm going to fire at one of the ones scrambling backwards.
Roll to do single combat. That's plus hard.
That's an 11.
Oh, geez. You can inflict terrible harm and suffer little harm. So it'll be plus one, minus one. And so the one that you level a shotgun on, you can hear him screaming as he scrambles backwards, obviously disturbed by multiple things, not least of which is the grenade explosion, and not the most of which is the giant monster that sprung up out of the water and then instantaneously disappeared. But as he scrambles backwards, you catch him as he moves back towards you unknowingly, and you put a shotgun to the back of his head and blast him in the temple. And he is going to immediately go down. Or as he goes down, you see him laying kind of over on the side a little bit, and you can hear the hissing sound of his wad as his hand, now in death throes, is clutched around his wad, and it seems to be pressing the call out button. And he was trying to alert somebody that they had been ambushed and did get the call out, but now the line is open. What do you do?
I'm gonna kick his hand away from the wad.
You kick his hand away and the static cuts off, but not before the screaming from the other two men can be heard over the wad. Next up, we have Dr. Cogsbuckle. Dr. Cogsbuckle, what do you do?
Well, is it safe to say I have my steam pistol on me?
Yeah, steam pistol and your new cane as well.
So first, I'm going to use divine protection on myself.
Which we've established is a protection of, it's a protection of your god, which is you.
Which is me. Is he? One armor.
For you god. Give yourself one armor.
Now I'm going
because
to,
you love yourself so much.
Yes. Course. I'm going to point my steam pistol at the one closest to the one that Den killed and fire.
Roll to do single combat, Doc.
That is an 8.
On a 7 and 9, you can choose one of the following. You inflict terrible harm, which is plus 1 harm, or you suffer little harm, which is minus 1 harm.
Terrible harm.
Terrible harm it is. How much does your steam pistol do? How many harm?
Plus 2.
So 2 harm. Okay, so it'll do 3 harm. So, as you, as this man kind of staggers back towards you, he turns to run towards the back of the alley, and you step out of the shadows as he passes next to you, and you put the pistol to the side of his head. And where's the kill shot at, Doc?
In his head.
No, you're just going to just pop him right in the temple as he runs past.
I'm going to say something, too.
Okay, go for it.
It's high noon, partner.
You son of a gun. You draw the pistol and put it out level with his head as he runs past. And right as he runs past, you say, "It's high noon, partner." And he turns to look at you, somewhat confused by the sudden voice in the darkness, but not before his head is obliterated by the projectile that leaves your steam pistol. And
as he fans the steam pistol.
That's right. Releases all six shots. No, his body falls backwards and onto the ground, and suddenly save the one man in the middle who is frantically fumbling with his wad, or where his wad was, and now it's just a stump about elbow. He is desperately trying to call out, and he says,
No, don't, please don't hurt me anymore. I've lost a lot of blood. Please, I don't. Who's out there?
And I'm gonna pull out my magnum, put it to his head, and pull the trigger.
You pull your magnum, and you put it down to his head. And as he feels the cold steel, he looks up at you in your eyes, and you can see the face covering, and you can see the night bright goggles he has on, which glow red on the front of them. And he says, "No, please!" And immediately that is extinguished by the sudden loud explosion that happens from the front of your magnum, and he falls backwards. What do you guys do? You have just a second. They did have gear on them. All of them were wearing night bright goggles, and then on top of that, you also have their steam pistols and whatnot. What do you guys do?
So out of character, if you guys want some of the goggles, grab them, but I say we just dump the bodies in the... No, we want to send a message.
Din will take one of their wads so he can have a constant communications check with where they're at all times.
Nice, very good.
And a steam pistol. That's what Din will take.
Okay.
I likes to think that my mask has the dark visions already.
You could think that, but that's just Boulder thinking that, and it actually doesn't.
Well, I mean, Boulders can still see in the dark.
I'm going to take some of the goggles.
Okay, you take your night bright goggles.
I'm going to take a steam pistol, too.
I guess I'll grab some of the goggles and I'll figure out how to work them with my mask. This is BS.
I'm going to dual wield.
Yeah, I'll take a goggle too since everyone else is. Because I knowing Joey, it's going to be like everyone but Din can see in the dark.
That's exactly Baldus, what would happen.
Baldus has the plans. And Baldur's going to pull out one of his grenades and pull the pin out, and he's going to put the grenade in the guy's mouth but rest it precariously and then turn the body over so when they flip the body over to see who it is, it's got a grenade in its mouth and it'll drop the pin.
That's some Rambo stuff right there.
Yeah, that is. Why don't you roll plus hard or cool, whichever's higher.
Okay, that's a 14 total.
Nice. Okay. So yeah, you booby trap sure. The body and flip it over. And it's about that time that you hear the clacking of toenails on the stoneworks, and you also hear the rushing of water as Warwick stands up out of the middle of the river in between the stone pathways. And Ratboy says, That's the fifth patrol that we've seen. How many of these guys are there?
Can't be too many more snails, Ratboy.
I mean, I get that, but they're all East Street. I mean, there's not that many East Street guys. And these guys look, I mean, I don't know how else to say this other than to say this, but they look a little nicer groomed than normal East Street guys. I mean, don't you think so, Din? It's like their hair has like some type of product in it.
Yeah. They're totally like swagging out.
I just don't, I mean, these don't seem like your normal run-of-the-mill East Street guys.
How many did we get rid of just now?
So y'all took out five.
Din, against his better judgment, is going to take another of the steam pistols, and he's going to hand it to Ratboy with the safety on, and he's going to point out, safety on means no bang, safety off, you're good to go, and show him how to use it.
Oh, okay, so you just kind of like point in a direction and he fires Ratboy. Off around.
Jesus, Ratboy.
Nope. And Din's going to put his ass like, yellow, dude, just like that.
Don't point it at anything you don't want to hurt, Ratboys.
Or yourself. Do not look down the barrel. We know better.
You see him flick his eyes over at the dock before looking back down, and he stows the steam pistol in his waistband, kind of like up front.
Oh, God.
And,
Remember, against better judgment.
Ratboys.
Yeah, Boulder, what's up?
I booby traps this body, so layers.
Why did you draw boobies on the body?
No, rat boy. I put the traps in the bodies.
It is boobies?
Oh my God, rat boy. Did you not read any of the Oh, he can't read.
I can't read, Boulder. You know that.
He's learning.
We were working on it. Anyway, rat boys, they call them boobies traps. I really don't, maybe because the first person, it's like boobies are a trap for your eyes is, I don't really know. Sorry.
I want that on a t-shirt. Boobies are traps for the eyes.
That's a good t-shirt.
But so if he rolls the body over, the grenades is going to go off. So when laters.
Oh, so you want me to roll?
No.
Oh, okay. Wow, sorry, you didn't have to yell.
No, that was for your safety's rest, boy. No, you.
Like the safety on the gun. Okay, I got it.
Correct. Don't flip the bodies over.
Okay.
And then.
Like any of them?
And yeah, don't. None of them.
What if they've got good stuff?
Rats, boys, you can go through their pockets without rolling them over.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, buddies.
Right.
You continue to show us how to hide, and we'll continue to take out these patrols.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good. I told you guys, it's pretty easy to hide. You just kind of like walk in the middle really low.
Oh, I mean, it's how it works in video games, is Rat Boy, but I thought it was different in real life, but you proved us wrong, so.
No, yeah, look, I mean, like, Warwick's hiding right now. And you look around and Warwick's gone.
What?
And, he's hiding right now. Like, stand up, Warwick, and Warwick stands up and he just appears.
Oh my god, it works. As Dins, I told you, all we have to do is crouch and we'll be hidden. And you're like, no, but we don't have to crouch, it's behind your weird Crush Nose's voice, but now you sound all cool, like one of those guys who rides waters on the board.
And Boulder crouches down to show Din that he was right all along, and you guys just see Boulder crouching down.
See, I'm invisible.
Boulder, dude, like, I don't want this to be a thing, because I don't want you to get hurt, but, this is like a Rat Boy and Warwick kind of thing, bro. Like, we can't do that. I can still see you, bro.
Looks, if I can read and Rat Boys can't read, I can hide.
That's got nothing to do with what's going on here.
Flawless logic. So Rat Boy says, look, guys, I think we gotta kind of make it pretty clear that they're not welcome down here. I don't really think there's an end to this, especially if it's not actually East Street people. Din, you picked up a wad, right?
Yeah.
I mean, are they saying anything? Have you heard anything?
Have I? Has the wad gone off since we've been talking?
Din, you tune in to the wad.
Guys, have you beat the piss out of the kids yet?
You hear that? Back.
You hear that come over the wad, and then you hear some swearing and some shouting.
Jesus Christ, 22, I've told you to come back in.
The wad clicks off, Din, and it kind of goes just silent.
I guess we have bigger problems than just the normal goons. Am I right, guys?
You see Rat Boy's, his eyes get really dark, and he looks enraged, and he says, that's the tool bag that came to the school, Doc.
Yes, I'm very familiar with him.
Yeah, he said his name's Kojak.
Yes, he's quite a bumbling idiot. He stutters quite a bit.
Yeah, he doesn't pull his punches either.
I heard somebody when I were torturing me call him stutters. I don't know if that really stuck, but...
I actually heard somebody call him that too. Hey, Doc, I mean, you don't think he's actually in the sewers, right? I mean, it wouldn't be that stupid to send down one of their main people.
I don't know. I doubt... Kojak's more of a right-hand man, so I doubt that they would send him down personally, but with what we've been dealing with, there's no telling.
I don't know how this is going to end and how we're going to keep the village safe. Doc, I mean, it's like 60 people down there now with the kids from the school and Lost Cat and then all of my people. I mean, they're going to find the middle of the sewers eventually.
Do your people know how to set booby traps?
Well, since I just learned the word, no, I don't think so.
Can we ask around and see if any of them have any special skills we can utilize?
I mean, like, what do you mean? Special skills? Like, we got blacksmiths and stuff. Is that what you're asking about?
Yeah, I don't know. Do you have an engineer?
Yeah, sure. He drives a little train around the village.
Oh, Jesus Christ, we're doomed.
Holy shit.
All right.
Woo! All right.
While this conversation's been going on, you know the arm that Boulder blew off from one of the guys?
Yeah.
Din's been off to the side and writing with the arm in blood, go away or else, on the wall.
Oh my gosh. with the stump on the backside.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing.
And then he makes a mistake and then turns it around like an eraser and uses like the two fingers to like wipe it away. And then turns it back around and like corrects his writing.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that. It's horrific. It's truly horrific. Rat Boy looks up at the doc and says, I mean, we definitely can enlist some people to help, Doc, but like I said, most everybody's getting all the kids from the school set up, so I don't think they're going to be much help now, but I mean, do you think we can just, like, kill enough of them to where they go away, or...
Well, I mean, we can continue to hide and see what we can do. I mean, that's really the only option we have. We can have Warwick try and do his thing where he rips them in half.
Yeah, he loves that.
Yes, he looked quite excited. What do you think, Boulder and Din? What do you think? Should we just continue hiding and just pop out of the shadows and headshot?
Din's gonna look at his wad. He's going to click through his folders that says objectives, and then he's going to look at the little number with a slash next to it that says progressing the plot, and he's going to see how many they've done so far.
Seems about 90% complete.
Mine says 10 headshots equals a loot chest.
It's all cosmetics, Doc. You don't want that. They don't actually help you with in-game items. So you guys kind of have this conversation all the while receding back into the shadows and continuing to move on through the sewers. It's probably another 2 or 3 hours before you stumble onto a much larger processional of people in one of the main veins that run to the center of the sewers where Rat Boy's village is. As a matter of fact, this is probably 10 to 15 people strong, and they're actually running one of the battle wagons through the sewers, and you can hear the rumble of the engine before you get to it, but when you can kind of peek around a corner and see it before they can get a beat on you guys as you're hiding, you can see a mounted gun on the top of it. What's the approach?
Well, before my idea, Boulder, or Doc, you guys gotten any ideas?
I mean, I has an idea, Din, but I mean, it's probably going to end up in me dying, so what's yours?
Well, out of character, I was going to probably see if Warwick will, you know, climb me to the, like, on top of everything, basically, like, clinging to the ceiling, so when they get underneath me, or Din, I should say, because we're not one and the same person, that'd be weird, of basically dropping down on top of the gunner, taking him out, thus taking control of the gun, and mowing down everyone else. Or, because Boulder's better at it than I am, we get Boulder to do it.
Can I get into a hidey spot? Because my new rifle cane has, like, a scope on it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I want to try and utilize my goggles and try and snipe the gunner.
Ooh, I like that.
So while they're moving into position, you're going to go hide and then try to snipe the gunner as they drop down. Is that the plan?
Yes.
Okay, who's getting on Warwick's back?
I say Din does it because I can provide artillery support while he's mowing people down.
I get that. My one thing, because of the role is going to be a plus hard, I'm not the best at it, and I know you are. So as much as I appreciate it, but I think you'll be best suited.
All right.
I mean, you tell me. Also, I was just going to say, so are there any deceased units floating in the water around us?
Not at this point. So you're farther up, so everything that you've killed at this point, you kind of started at the outside of the sewers and have worked your way in.
Gotcha.
So these guys are pretty far in. Actually, they're probably only a few hundred yards from the entrance to the center of the sewers.
I'm going to take off of my back, on my shoulder. I'm going to hand Din my steam rifle that I've had for a while, and that way he can sit back and shoot with the doc.
Yeah, I guess I'll like be off to the side, specifically on the, what would be, I guess, the right side. So if the battle wagon's coming at us, so plan being laying suppressive fire up until basically the battle wagon inevitably stops because Boulder jumps on it. If he jumps on it, and then kind of suppressing fire my way up there to essentially take control of the battle wagon.
So Din and Dr. Cogsbuckle, you guys both see on either side in the rounded walls, there's this alcove on either side that has a small, like, man-sized metal door set into it where you can kind of, like, wedge yourself in with your back against the door, and there's a little bit of a jut out on the wall that you can lean against and kind of take cover behind as these guys kind of rumble towards you. They all have kind of fire blindness because of the lights from the battle wagon. And as you're moving into position, Boulder, you kind of have a quick discussion with Warwick that is affirmed by Rat Boy, and you guys climb up. After you climb on Warwick's back, you guys climb up on the roof of the stoneworks and begin to kind of crawl along the roofworks.
So my idea is have Warwick pick the gunner out with his teeth rather than relying on Boulder to do it, and then Warwick can dive in the water so he's avoiding taking fire after that, and then I'll hop on the gun.
Yeah, you can tell him that as you guys get close, for sure. And so Ratboy kind of recedes into the shadows a little bit with you guys all taking position. As Warwick and Boulder move along the ceiling of this quietly, you hear the squeal of a radio ring out, and all of a sudden from a bullhorn on top of the battle wagon, you hear the following voice.
Alright boys, so here's the deal. We're looking for Din freaking Beasel. Now from what I understand, he's dead. I've heard that he's dead. I don't believe that. Because, I mean, first off, there's no way that Din freaking Beasel was that easy to kill. But on the off chance that he is dead, then, you know, there's gotta be some other, like, Coxbuckles skull for whatever the heck in here. So, you know, let's just clean him out, and that's kind of the task. There shouldn't be anything crazy down here. I mean, it's a bunch of kids. Hey, you're overarmed and all that stuff. It should be pretty easy. And all the other guys that I know, like, I know some of you called on the WAD and tried to get them to, like, respond and stuff. I mean, you know, it's just bad wide connections. Don't worry about it. Don't think about it. So, best of luck, and I'm keeping the hideout warm for you, and we're going to have a great party tonight when you guys get back. So, yeah.
The connection kind of stays there after he finishes talking, and you hear...
Yeah, no, I don't actually. No, there's no way they're going to make it. What are you... Maurice, what are you... No, Maurice, you cannot take bets with... Warwick and Kojak on who's gonna make
boss.
No, obviously Steve not gonna make
boss,
it out.
The mic's still on.
What do you mean the mic's still
on? The mic's still on, boss.
Why are you holding the button down, Kojak? I told you to turn it off when I got done with this.
I thought that you wanted me to leave it on like you was gonna, you were gonna do some sort of like
Hey, Kojak, shut up. Hey, no, boys, I'm sorry about that. No, you're doing great. Definitely just kids down there. Have fun. Kojak, turn off the mic.
Okay, now or like you wanna
leave it? Rory, turn off the mic, please.
You got it, boss.
And the mic cuts off with static, and then all of a sudden, all the men who were pretty secure behind their arms kind of look at each other, just as Dr. Cogsbuckle takes his shot. Dr. Cogsbuckle rolls to do single combat with someone. That's plus hard.
Let's go, Doc.
That is a 9. Minus 1, so it's an 8.
On a 7 and 9, you can choose one of the following. Inflict terrible harm or suffer a little harm.
Inflict terrible harm.
Okay. And you're targeting the driver?
Yeah, let's target the driver.
So your cane does 4, and then you'll be plus 1, so 5 harm. So you draw a bead on the driver of the battle wagon. There's the man sitting in kind of the turret up on top, and you can clearly see the driver and another... a woman kind of on the left-hand side, or the right-hand side of the vehicle, rather. And you draw down a bead on the driver, and this is the first time you fired your cane gun since you got your new one from Uncle Merrill, and it fires like a dream. You pull the trigger back, it's just the smoothest pull in the world, and all of a sudden it barely kicks, and you see the projectile fly out as a small, muted kind of just leaves the end of the rifle, and you
silenced.
Barely see muzzle flash.
Yummy.
All of a sudden, a small round hole appears in the front driver's side glass on the windshield, and you see the driver lean forward for a second and then just fall onto the steering wheel, and the horn start to you hear the horn start to go off. And suddenly, there is a frenzy of activity as people begin to shout and yell and look in all directions, and lights crisscross and dance across the hole of the cavern that you're in. You kind of shrink back a little bit as some of them move in your direction, but it is about that time that they some of the lights inadvertently catch a horrifying black form on the roof.
That's our signals, Warix.
La, la, la.
And all of a sudden, Warwick lets go from the roof and drops down, spinning in midair as he falls onto no less than 5 or 10 of the people as he cuts them in half with all the claws and scales and armor and everything else, but not before taking out the gunner turret in a single gulp, and he drops you, Boulder, on top of the battle wagon. What do you do?
To the waters.
Warwick kind of gives you like a salute with one of his hands. Which is one of the bloody hands. It's actually, he's got like body parts hanging from his claws. Nice. And he gives you a salute. And then dives back down into the waters, leaving a blood trail in his wake. At this exact moment, it is abject chaos. People begin firing in all directions. Each of you is going to take 2 harm from this.
I'll take 1 harm, so...
Nice. And so they accidentally, hit a few of their own people in the process. But the woman leans out of the window of the battle wagon, steam pistol in hand, seeing Boulder on top of it. She takes a shot at you, Boulder, and you're going to take 3 harm as she shoots you in the chest, some of it being prevented by your chest armor.
I'm going to turn the gun to her, and I'm going to go,
mistakes.
I'm going to depress both of the buttons.
Yeah, so all of a sudden you feel the concussive force of the gun turret just completely annihilate not only the woman, but the side of the vehicle as well. And it kind of starts to lift up, and you're not really used to the rise on it. And it goes up and over around the roof of the cavern, just putting holes in the stone all the way up. Din, what do you do?
I'm going to start, I guess, laying down fire. Like, I guess at this point, like, Din's going to, like, be prone just so... from the beginning, so he didn't get like spotted. So he's gonna fire from a prone position at the group of men trying to hit one of them.
You can do one of 2 things. You can either roll single combat, or you can roll to lay down fire, which is a support move. It's up to you.
Yeah, I mean, I'll lay down fire. I think Boulder can handle this.
So roll plus hard, and tell me what you get.
It's a 13 because I nat 6'd.
Oh my gosh, it's a 13 total.
Yeah, I nat 12 basically.
You can choose 3 of the following. You provide covering fire, allowing another character to move or act freely. You provide supporting fire, giving another PC a +1 towards their own battle move. You provide suppressing fire, denying another character to move or act freely. Or you take an opportune shot, inflicting harm on an enemy within your reach.
Let's do the first 2 and give it all to Boulder. And then I will take the last action to inflict terrible harm upon one of them.
Nice. So there's one that's closest to you who is turned back to see Boulder standing on the battle wagon illuminated by the rack-mounted lights on top of the vehicle.
He
levels a gun, and just as he does, you kind of draw a bead on him and just blast him in the side of the head. And as he falls over, you can hear screaming, and you hear a wad click on, and you hear one of the guys go, Rick, there's something down here. It's killing. And then immediately, you see him get pulled into the water.
Oh, no.
Actually, one leg still stays on the stone walkway, and the other leg gets pulled into the water. And he does the splits at first and kind of whimpers a little bit, and then is pulled in half as his other leg stays anchored into the ground.
He's on our side, and I still hate this. Like, this is terrifying.
And it only bubbles for a second, then it's gone.
I bet.
And then it's gone. And Dr. Cogsbuckle, it is your move.
How many people are left?
So you get about 10 left.
And they're coming at us, like, walking or running towards us?
As of right now, they are running to get away from Boulder and whatever the heck is in the water. So they're moving quickly in your direction. Some of them are trying to run past the car in the opposite direction, but I'd imagine they're going to get mowed down very shortly.
Okay, I'm going to take another sniper shot.
Nice. So roll to do single combat, or you can lay down fire. It's up to you.
I'm going to lay down fire and give Din a little opening to attack some more of them.
Okay, roll plus hard.
Oh, no.
What's that?
That's a 3.
Oh.
-1?
So 3 minus -1 is 1. A 2. That's a 2. So in this game, a 6 is a miss, 7 and 9 is a mixed success, and a 10 plus is a full success. Unfortunately, our beloved Dan has rolled a miss. So, Dr. Cogsbuckle, I'm going to hold that move, hold that hard move for a minute. You actually go to fire another shot, and as you do, you click down the trigger, and you feel the gun jam a little bit. It's a little bit of a short clear, just a little bit of a stovepipe, and all you got to do is rack and re-clear. So not a big thing, but quick enough that you miss your opportunity to shoot. And we'll flip it over to Boulder.
So I've got clowns to the left of me and jokers to the right.
Yes, sir. And they're all trying to run past you to get away from you down the opposite direction of the center of the sewer.
I guess I'm stuck in the middle with you, so I'm going to try to find the most concentrated groups of them.
Mm-hmm.
And shoot into the groups, trying to take down, maybe ones or twos or three, in one nice blast. But this time, I got a handle on the recoils, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to have you do single combat. Roll plus hard.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. No. What's that?
Thanks, Dan.
That's a five. I'm so sorry.
A five. No. So all of these guys race past you and into the darkness. Mm-hmm. And you can hear Wads click to life as they begin to tell tale of exactly what is going on of a man dressed in body armor attacking them as sewer snipers in the sewer, and also some type of giant monster. And all the while, you can hear Rick screaming at them over their wads that it's just a bunch of children and it shouldn't be that big of a deal. But it fades in the distance as they run past, and you look back towards the group that's still there trying to move deeper into the sewers away from you. And it's at this point that I'm going to use your failure to affect Din. They are running down the alleyway, their lights crisscrossing over the stoneworks, when all of a sudden one of them catches sight of you, Din, and he, before you can say anything, motions to two other people, and they draw down on you, saying, I think we've got the sniper right here. And they draw down on you as you're laid prone. What do you do?
Okay. So this is gonna suck and I hate this. In Din fashion, he's going to barrel roll into the water to try to avoid whatever fire is coming, but at the same time, try to lay down suppressing fire.
So he's going to be shooting while
rolling
he rolls?
Rolling in fire, yes.
I love it. Okay, so I guess roll to lay down fire.
Right on.
Plus hard.
Eh, well. See, I guess it's going to be bad luck all night, boys.
Uh-huh. You got a plus one, buddy.
I know, it's a seven.
And a seven. On a seven or nine, you can choose two of the following. You provide covering fire, allowing a character to move freely. You provide supporting fire, giving someone a plus one on a battle move. You provide suppressing fire, denying another character to move or act freely, or you take an opportune shot.
Free movement to Dr. Cogsbuckle, because he's probably going to see me get spotted, so he'll probably want to move, or he'll stay. It's up to him. And then I'll, as I'm rolling, I'll try to do... terrible harm on one of them, since my world is moving.
I dig it. So, you will... So, as you roll, and this is literally just a barrel roll along the wet and molded ground, you just kind of fire randomly as you roll in front of them. I mean, it takes you a solid second and a half of these guys just being in disbelief that you're just rolling across the ground.
I would be too.
Yeah, so they do take shots at you, so you're going to suffer three harm from this. So you do manage to just pop one of them in the knees as you go past.
Ha-ha, so my specialty.
Shoot him right in the kneecap, and he just goes down screaming, and you go into the water. When you hit the water, you're almost like sucked downwards, and you feel Warwick's slimy, scaled, hard-scaled arms encircle you as he pulls you deeper into the water, kind of like turning over, so as the shots follow you into the water, they hit his back and not yours.
Right on.
And you kind of are zipped down at incredible speed through the water, and you're not really sure which direction you're traveling. Dr. Cogsbuckle, I'm going to use your miss against you now, and as everybody follows Din's path into the water, it leads them to take a direct look at you as all six guys, their lights hit you at once. And they begin to fire, and you're going to take four harm.
Yikes.
Woof.
What do you do?
Am I still in the little hole inside of the sewer?
Yeah, you're hunkered down in that hole right now, trying not to take more fire as they just lay into the concrete.
Right. Well, I'm going to attempt to use my steam pistol and just, like, kind of blind fire behind me.
All right.
I was thinking about just going full guns akimbo and just whipping both steam pistols out, going straight for him, but I figured that'd probably be a bad idea.
Yeah, it's bad when the rock music doesn't play and it actually ends up being like yakety sax and you die. So roll plus hard for lay down fire, and it'll be suppressing fire.
Oh my god.
Oh no!
Snake eyes. Again.
Oh man.
What?
I think I will use this miss to affect Boulder.
Just a chain reaction.
Boulder, you see Din roll into the water, and you see the dock getting lit up by the remaining six guys. And you are standing there with a gun in hand, and you cannot draw a line on the guys that does not include Dr. Cogswuckle.
I'm going to lean forward, and I'm going to run. Like, so I imagine this is like an M2 Browning. Like, you know, the 50 cal mm-hmm. machine gun. I'm going to rack it back and let go and go, sorry, Docs. And I'm going to push down both triggers again in the group of six people.
Group of seven, if you include Doc.
Yeah, a group of seven people. Let's be honest here. So what's your objective here other than to kill people? Are you trying to scare them off or what's the deal?
So I want to at least eliminate like one or two, but it's ultimately to truly draw their fire away from the dock and then not hit the dock, which, you know, the recoil might get out of hand, but that's a risk I'm willing to take. But if I don't kill the dock, then he can shoot them in the back while they're shooting me, because I'm at least on top of an armored vehicle and I feel somewhat safe.
Okay, roll to lay down fire. That's plus hard.
Oh, baby. That's Let's a 12, so that's a 15 total.
Nice. So Maddie. I tell you what, there's six people and Dr. Cogsbuckle is cowering behind the wall, taking fire. Tell me what happens.
So again, Boulders takes and racks the gun and goes, sorry's Docs, and he depresses both triggers and he has it slightly low, but it does like that that scene in the movie about where they're trapped in the computers and robots are farming humans. I'm not going to throw out the name of the movie, but you know what I'm talking about.
Nice.
And you see the line slowly draw
revolutionary
up to,
movie.
Yeah, first starts drawing up to the first guy, hits the lower leg, blows it completely off, goes up to his midsection, and then it just blows him to the side, but kind of split like in the movie where the two robots are traveling in time and they're fighting and one is made out of liquid. And then there happens to be two guys behind him, but a single shot goes through both of their chests, expanding them kind of like watermelons. And then the recoil keeps taking it upward and it kind of, he kicks it to the side as it's going and it draws a line continuing through the last few people, but not paying attention, he does like lay into Doc's cover, the direction he kicks it. So that's up to you whether or not one passes through and kind of snags the Doc.
No, I think that you lay into the cover as the six guys go down just in a line, and that last like few stray bullets hit the Doc's cover, and Doc, you poke your head out, and what do you say to Boulder as he accidentally almost shot you?
Well, actions do have consequences, Boulder.
I have thoughts about the weasel's maneuver, Docs, but I didn't have time to tell you.
Yeah, it was a little bit loud from all the gunfire. It's fine. Great job. I'm almost dead again.
Boulder's going to reach up and kind of scratch his ear. It is a little loud, Doc.
Doc, as you go to respond to Boulder, you freeze. And you're not sure if it's the fact that you only have one eye now and it's playing tricks on you or what, but in the distance, behind Boulder, you can see some type of shape moving. Boulder, you hear the click of a steam pistol as it moves against the back of your head. And you hear a gruff voice say, you should have checked behind you.
Indeed.
And you can hear his finger, like it's in slow motion almost. You can hear his finger start to depress the trigger, and you can hear the clicking of all the mechanisms inside. When all of a sudden, you hear a low pfft, and the man headless falls backwards off of the battle wagon.
Headless, you say?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
What do you do?
Boulder's gonna get up out of the turret and look down at the body.
Wow, this really blew his mind, I guess.
That's a good joke. So Doc, Boulder, Din is gone. Ratboy is nowhere to be found, and Warwick seems to be gone as well. And it's just the two of you surrounded by bodies. You can still see, you know, all the gear, wads, and the night bright goggles on all of the men. What do you guys do?
Din?
Din is nowhere to be found.
I'm going to hop off the battle wagon and kind of nudge around the body to see if there's any identifying, you know, like E Street or otherwise paraphernalia on the body.
So all the men are wearing the E Street colors. You notice a few of them are carrying, all of them are carrying Marigold branded weapons, as are all of you. But they, you kind of nudge around on them a little bit, and you notice that every second or third one seems to have, well, the ones that still have necks, seem to have some type of like barcode tattoo on the back of their neck, kind of above their, where their shoulder meets the nape of their neck.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to have some type of like small, like skinny barcode running across the back of it. And you can't quite tell exactly what its intent is. Dr. Cogswinkle, Boulder, you guys regroup. What do you guys say to each other?
Where's Din's go, Doc?
Yeah, I have no idea, Boulder. He's just kind of... He was right there.
And I guess he points to the direction where he was.
Yeah, so, to the direction, and then he rolled into the water. You guys didn't see that.
Oh, we did see him roll into the water?
Did he not pop back up to Warwick's? Warwick's!
Still no answer. The only thing that does answer, as a matter of fact, is the clacking of high-heeled boots on the stone.
I'm going to pull my grenade launcher on its sling up and, you know, clack, clack, who goes this?
Dr. Cogswinkle, do you turn with your weapon as well?
Yes, both pistols drawn.
So you're akimbo.
Nice.
Like a boss.
Like a boss, both pistols out.
Slightly turned sideways. Not like full, ooh, but like they're both kind of turned at like a 45 rather than a 90.
Yeah, I did a cool like sling my cane over my back because I have a strap on it now, and then I pull out my two pistols.
I dig it. So you draw and turn as Boulder lifts up his grenade launcher, and you hear the boots clacking on the stone, and it's several seconds as the clacking gets closer before you see first the boots, then legs, and then torso, and then head of this person.
Docs, those are the boots?
I would recognize those boots anywhere, Boulder.
What an absolute bitch, am I right?
What an absolute bitch.
It's about this time that you see a tall, black-headed woman holding a pretty large sniper rifle in a leather messenger bag slung over her shoulder, and she says, hey, Boulder, Doc. Doc, that's a different kind of look than you normally have.
Yeehaw, partner.
Yeah, no, you can lose the voice, Doc. I know it's you.
Oh, yes, of course. Oh, well, well, well. Look who it is. Do you know how much shit has come down on us since the Hayward Monolith?
I feel like at least 90% of that was your fault, or y'all's fault.
I beg to differ. You used my suit against me.
Okay, first off, and you know what? I'm glad you brought it up. And look, we don't have much time left in the episode, so I really want to address this real quick. Who the heck writes their name on the back collar of their own suit?
It was for my birthday party.
All I did was leave the I took the jacket off to work, and that's it. And like, all I did was leave it in the corner of the office. I'm like, oh, this will be blown up. And then some idiot leaves their name on the tag of their suit jacket.
Well, it was actually gold letters sprawled across the back, but who's to say?
Docs, I'm not going to lie, but that, you know, that's very sloppy's work.
Yes, very sloppy work on her part, Boulder.
I would say it's the sloppy.
Boulder's going to stare at Marla and say, it's
the sloppy.
I see what you did. That was very clever, Boulder.
Yeah, I was just trying to shorthand the Doc.
Marla stops for a second, and she says, hey, Doc, look, really good to see you, and I appreciate that. Can you go and check and see if there's any other, like, guys down the way there? I gotta ask Boulder a question real quick.
You mean this way? I point in the direction.
With the guns.
Yeah. No, actually,
I, like, rotate my body with the guns.
No, Doc, in the other direction, actually.
So this direction, and I point the guns at her.
Yeah, no, preferably past me, but yeah.
I see. Okay, I head that way.
Okay, appreciate you. She walks over to you, Boulder, and she says, do I have to say the thing, or are you good?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Hey, good to see you, boss.
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah, that's kind of my thing, too. What's going on?
Well, I am suddenly woke up by Bart, who's working with Uncle Merrill. And where the hell have you been?
No, don't look at me. First off, you're the one that set all this stuff up. I know you've been out of it for a little while and you kind of forgot that, but you're the one that set everything up here. And I've been doing my job.
You're supposed to be number two and you're supposed to have everything covered.
Yeah, first off, number two only because you had seniority and that's it. Just so we're clear. Just let's rehash that again real quick. But first off, I you set up this whole kerfuffle, I guess it was what we can call it, and this has been your thing from day one. I don't know really why you wanted to break Meredith out in the first place.
Well, she's a valuable asset, and you know what's going on with everything, so of course we needed her.
Yeah, no, that's all well and good, but have you seen who's taking over ZSG? Like, that wasn't the intent. He was supposed to be there, too.
Yeah, I mean, the only problem is now that I've been made, they know that I'm alive clearly now.
Yeah, no, B-Team's definitely after you.
Yeah.
Definitely.
We're, how the kids would say, completely effed.
Oh, yeah, 100%. The only reason they haven't found you is because you're down here in the sewers. Which, by the way, really hard to track you guys down here, so that's not a bad thing.
Well, good thing you're good at that stuff, huh? So, why don't you continue watching over our shoulders, because whether you like it or not, you're probably going to be the only way we kill B-Team. Also, the doc is coming back. I'll talk to you more later.
Yeah, you, real quick, you know I'm going to have to knock the doc out right so he forgets all this.
Don't worry. I'll take care of it. I pulled his eye out, by the way. You should really see it.
Nice. That's cool. Nice.
Awful.
Good job.
Yeah. Where did Den go?
No, don't tell Den. The monster took him.
Oh, okay. Well.
All right. See you later. Hey, Doc. Peace out. Good luck. Talk to you later.
Bye.
And she just kind of strolls past you into the darkness.
Ducks. We have problems.
Yes.
Some really bad guys are after us, and it's not just the East Streets.
Do you know who?
Not exactly, but Marla's was telling me that the only reason she's was here is to make sure that the bad guys don't get us.
Well, she's good at coming in and cleaning up and then leaving us to dry, so...
I don't know what that's supposed to mean, Doc. Like, does she do the dishes and then we have to, like... dry the dishes?
No, it's like you do the laundry and then you set it outside on the clip hangers.
Oh, so we have to like pull it in, but what if it's like really windy's and then like I lose my favorite socks?
Well, I don't know, but maybe you should use stronger clips.
Yeah, maybe. So, yeah.
I got an out of character question.
Mm-hmm.
How am I gonna knock the doc out?
That's up to you, baby. I just need him to not remember is what Marla said.
Remember, I still have my guns akimbo.
Doc's gonna draw
one
on Boulder.
1v1 in the sewers.
So what are the odds that I can put him in a rear naked choke? But what are the odds that he's gonna forget from being knocked out like that? Like maybe adrenaline's high and he gets knocked out and kind of, you know what I mean? Has a little bit of aphasia.
Or you could just kind of like figure out how to make him promise not to say anything to Den.
Hey, Docs.
Yes.
She also told us some other things.
I lean in a little bit closer.
I'm going to lift my mask up just enough for my lips to be exposed. She says that we can't tell Dens about us seeing hers.
And they kiss.
So,
of course, more secrets.
But
what
Docs,
a surprise.
Docs, you know it is Tuesdays, so I mean technically it falls under the purview of Debauchery's Tuesdays.
What, keeping secrets?
Yes, I mean, we're not going to tell them about the times. Well, I'm not going to talk about it because the body cameras. But
Know. I'm not one to break rules, Boulder.
Yeah, you're right, Stock. And I'm going to lower my mask back down.
So, we're in agreement. We didn't seize nothings.
My lips are sealed.
By the way, Docs, I'm going to have to say, he did a really nice job. They're really fools.
His lips. He's talking about his lips.
Boulder, it's about this time that you hear a couple of the dead men's wads crackle to life, and you hear Rick's voice come over it. It says,
Unit 44, come in, Unit 44. You guys are kind of like the head squad, and we haven't heard from you in probably 10 minutes, so come in Unit 44.
And then the wad crackles off.
I'm going to look at Doc.
You want to see me as confused, Simpson?
Yes, let's play a prank on Rick.
I'm going to pick it up, and I'm going to go, "Hey, Rick," and, you know, a normal, non-Boulder voice. Just letting you know that Unit 44 and 23 and 18 and, well, the rest of the boys you sent down here are no longer with us. But me and my friends, we're going to find you. We're going to get Terrence back, and then we're going to kill you. Have a nice day. And he's going to click the wad off.
Did you see that, Doc? He has no idea what's going on.
Boulder, that was brilliant. Wonderful acting. Do you want to be in our next play?
Docs, I can. I have stage frights.
Oh, that's right. Well,
that's why I have to go to parties by myself.
And that's where we'll end it for this week. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Side Quest. I hope you've enjoyed yourselves. Lord knows that we have for an hour and 30 minutes. I want to thank the three greatest PCs of their respective vicinities. Guys, Dr. Cogsbuckle, you saw some action this week, and you didn't end up unconscious. I'm proud of you.
You know, I'm proud of myself. I felt quite, the sharpshooter.
Yeah, you did good. The new cane's working out.
Yes, and I got to blow somebody's head off, which I've never done before. I was a little bit nervous, but as soon as I did it, the voice, the line, you know, the finisher line, you know, the cool thing that people say when right. they do things, it just came to me.
Yeah,
it was almost natural.
It was good. Can you do it again?
And Uncle Merle really souped up that cane. I tell you what.
Yeah, if you see him again, you need to tell him. Can you do the line again?
It's high noon, partner.
Nice. It's good stuff. Man, you know what? You should be a cowboy.
Well, some say I do resemble a cowboy sometimes.
Should have been a cowboy.
So, Din, that was the fastest you've ever swum. So, and you know, you barely took any refuse to the face as you were going through the water. So that was good.
Yes? Question mark?
Yeah. And also, being touched by Warwick is a nightmare.
I mean, it was, but I mean, Warwick and I are cool. I mean, I've been hanging out with Warwick for a while now. So, yeah, oh, it's about normal.
He's super sweet, don't get me wrong, but something about that hug is just, I'm not digging it.
I'd rather do that than a bullet, you know?
Yeah, no, I understand. You excited to maybe see Marla again at some point?
No comment.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Boulder / LaGrange, Boulder, you got to kill a lot of people today.
Yeah, I feel really good about it.
That line at the end was sick. Yeah. Did you write that?
Weez feels good about it.
Oh, nice.
You know, I just came up with it off the tops of my head. I definitely didn't ask multiple times what I was supposed to say. Because is stuck in my head.
Nah, it was really good. I'm happy with it. And you got to see V again, so that was good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it seems like y'all have quite the history.
Yeah, you know, working together for so long, you kind of have a frenemy kind of thing going, you know, and being asleep for so long and having to pretend like I'm an imbecile who is obsessed with blowing people up kind of gets to you after a while.
Yeah, I understand. Did she really do that much better than you on all of the marksman trials and everything?
I mean, clearly, I have to use grenades.
Yeah, makes sense. More of a splash damage kind of guy, huh?
Yeah, you know, when accuracy through volume matters more is how I like to play things.
Yep, I understand. A general question to the three of you, I guess starting with Dr. Cogsbuckle. I guess more of a statement. I'd expect the Warrens to be markedly different the next time you surface. What do you think William's plans are?
Well, I don't know. They don't seem to like me very much, I'll tell you that.
you think it's going to be good for you?
Most likely not. You know, I should have reminded Marla that jacket was reversible.
You know, that would have been helpful. That really, really would have been helpful.
You know, hindsight 2030.
That's what my grandpappy told me for sure. So again, I want to thank everybody for joining us for the episode of SideQuest. I want to go over the socials and everything, but before we do that, I want to thank our affiliates for this episode. First and foremost, we want to thank Buzzsprout. That's BUZZSPROUT.com. Buzzsprout.com. It's our personal podcasting podcast hosting service, and they are in tune with just a ton of podcatchers. Make it really easy to get your show out there. So if you think about hosting a podcast, consider doing it with Buzzsprout. That's BUZZSPROUT.com. And you can get a discount if you use the link in the episode description below. And we get a little bit of kickback from it.
I want to just say they missed an opportunity. Like, Buzzsprout shouldn't have called themselves a podcast hosting service, but a pod pitcher. Because it pitches to catchers.
All the pod catchers. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Like, yeah. But, you know, I'll that was for free, Buzzsprout.
Yeah, so that was for free. And then speaking of things that are not free, next up we have Instacart. That's INSTACART.com. Instacart.com. You can check them out on the App Store, iOS, and Android. And you can also check them out on Instacart.com. You can get groceries delivered to your door in a lot of instances in an hour or less. And they deliver all kind of things. Not the our most favorite of which is Richie.
Right now, I'm really stuck on Andy's Mints.
Andy's Mints, of course, and also Cruise.
K-Cups, because I just got a Keurig for Christmas.
There you go. You can get some Andy's Mints and K-Cups, and you can get it all delivered to your door with Instacart. If you use the link in the episode description, you can get a discount if you become a new member of Instacart. Give them a try. It's pretty convenient, and you know, sooner or later, we'll be able to never leave our house again. I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure everybody else is as well. Who wants to run through socials real quick? Let's say eeny, meeny, miny, Dan.
Well, our socials, you can find us on Twitter at The Cog Weekly. You can also find us on Facebook at The Cog Weekly. And don't forget about our Patreon.
Kind of way when he talks like
this is my favorite part of the podcast.
Now, is the Patreon Cog Weekly, or is that Side Quest?
Just go both. With it. Just go with your gut.
I mean, does both. It matter? Because
it's both.
We don't
Patreon
need
is Cog Weekly as well, so make sure to go give us money.
Pay us so we can have better quality. Thank you.
Thank you. I need a new microphone.
Oh, man. So we can get more of that auditory butter all over our ear holes.
I used to have a
give
nice
you a little
voice.
Bit more gain and bass boost.
Gotta get the bass boost.
I'm all about that bass.
That's right. No trouble. That's bass. What I've heard. And then also, if you want to check us out in Discord, you can go to our SideQuest Discord and you can actually be involved in a recording and hang out with us before and after, even though I have no idea why you'd want to do that. And other than that, we are glad to finally be getting back to a routine here after the holidays and getting episodes to you released on Friday, just like you like it, just like you're used to. We have seen, even though we have had some weeks in between episodes, we have seen the downloads continue to be exactly where we like them, if not better than. And so thank you for continuing to support us and being with us through all of the weird scheduling and everything. But we're back at it now, 2022. I don't know where there are that many 20s. It's going to be a fantastic year for SideQuest, and I'm looking forward to it. And I would rather... There's no three PCs I would rather do 2022 with than the three that I have right here. Thank you, Dan, for being in this week's episode.
It was my pleasure.
Thank you, Richie, also for being in this week's episode.
Yeah.
And Cruz, you're contractually obligated to be here, but thank you anyway.
Yeah, you know, anytime that SideQuest Incorporated needs their least favorite player, they can always call on me. No matter how far I am from my computer, I'll be there on time.
Absolutely. Thank you guys again for joining us. We are going to get out of here, but not before the boys tell you bye-bye. Say goodbye to the people. Let's get going.
Bye, everyone. Be safe.
Bye-bye.
Adios, amigos. You know, I really don't like the fact that I'm the only one contractually obligated to be here.
Okay, hold on. I got another one. Speaking of people that. Next up, we have.
I don't think we should leave that one in there.
Oh, man. I don't know what to do first. It's really messed up, dude.
Well, man, I don't know if I'm going to leave that one in, guys.
You
but
should. I mean, it's funny. We will see. But I don't know. It kind of hurts my feelings a little bit, but...